This is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Time to put on the show.
Jamal Adams not going to be participating in Seattle's mandatory minicamp that begins today. The participation is not necessarily a surprise. He's coming off of a series of off-season surgeries on both shoulders and to a finger. I'm not sure if anybody expected him to be taking part in the workouts that will take place. The question of whether he was going to be present, though, that remains something that is in doubt and very much up in the air. And Jeremy Fowler clarified this to say the Seahawks are also aware of a personal issue, something that may have come up involving Adams. So we should hesitate to assign any responsibility. The fact that if he's not there, it might not be due to the contract extension that we all know is looming in the background of this situation.
And that's good, and that means that things have not necessarily gotten to a point where it's getting awkward, let alone hostile, between both parties, which I think some believe is possible. I think some might believe it based off of his track record with the New York Jets. And I would just remind them that this is an entirely different, not crap, situation.
Well, you also look to last year, Jalen Ramsey with the LA Rams was in a very similar situation, right? He was acquired in a trade by the Rams, who gave up two first-round picks to get him from Jacksonville. And he came there among very much what we're saying now, which is you're not going to give up all of that to not sign the guy long term, right?
Right.
Like, you're not going to give up two first round picks and a third round pick and a starting safety for 1 year of Jamal Adams and then 1 year that would be impacted by a contract dispute. Like, that's you didn't do it for that.
So there's some good faith here because of that, right? Just because of what you gave up, I think the Seahawks have to be honest when they go to the table with them and say, yeah, we gave up this much for you. We really think highly of you.
Well, not only that, but last year, remember how training camp started and Jalen Ramsey walked out of an interview with other reporters because they kept asking him about his contract and he said he wasn't worried about it. And what happened? Like, a week later, he had a contract extension. Like, that's I don't have much doubt about the ultimate resolution of this. I think that Jamal Adams is going to be staying in Seattle long term. I just think it might get a little hairy between now and then, and everybody needs to buckle up and put on some big boy pants and get ready for there is room for a very reasonable and very passionate and potentially a very dug in disagreement here between the two sides. Because on the one hand, you have a player in Jamal Adams who can look at his body of work and say, you can't pay me like a safety. And on the other hand, you have the Seahawks saying, we're going to pay you like the best safety, but you're still a safety, and we're going to make you the highest paid safety, but there's a limit to how high we're going to go because we're not going to vault you up into that other conversation. You're not going to be one of the highest paid defensive players regardless of position.
I want to go back to that word hairy for just a moment. Why is it that hairy informally is used to describe something that is difficult?
Well, because it's hairy. Like, you ever fished a hair clog out of the sink?
You know what?
How about the shower drain?
You know,
I do
what?
That. I do that probably twice a month.
That disgusting image is perfect, and we can move right back on. That is a
How about the big red monster? Big Red, who looks like Western Kentucky's Hilltopper mascot.
Oh.
That's a hairy situation, that Big Red monster.
From Looney Tunes, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. The one that they ultimately take the shaver to and show that he's just a little tiny fella inside all
they
of that hair.
They shore him, right. And you want to share your hairy
problems. Yeah, it's going to get hairy.
Away.
It's going to get hairy, Paul.
It's gonna get
as hairy as an hour long haircut.
I just think there's so much evidence of Jamal Adams being happy here that he would have a hard time seeing it get hairy, much like the Seahawks who gave up so much for him. I guess I just don't see how it would make sense for either side to dig in, because I think that they both have a pretty common understanding of what's gonna take place here. The Seahawks, because of what they spent, and Jamal Adams, because he's finally here. Like, I think there's a little bit of mutual appreciation that's going on here that at the very least should keep things from getting awkward, hostile, ugly.
I'm not sure how hostile it's going to get. And if it gets hostile, that's okay. That happens in football. And usually that's when people start saying, you know, it's a business, which is usually what people say when somebody's getting the screws put to them in one of these negotiations, or a cutthroat, ruthless decision is made. Hey, it's a business. The reason I think it's going to get hairy is because both sides have a really reasonable point. It's easy when somebody is completely sort of, you're like, that guy is whacked. There's no reason you should think that way. Like, then it's just a matter of somebody talking some sense into that guy. It's totally reasonable for Jamal Adams to look at his current situation and say, 9.5 sacks, the way I play, and everything they gave up to get me, I shouldn't settle for a penny less than what I think I deserve. They're not going to let me walk. They've got to pay me. So if I just wait it out, they're going to give me what I want, and I should be able to vault up into the $20 million a year type player because I have 9.5 sacks. I'm their top pass rusher in addition to being their best safety. The Seahawks, it's a really reasonable position to say, yes, you're the best safety, but you're a safety. And we're going to pay you as the highest paid safety, but we're not going to pay you higher than and pay you as if you're playing a different position.
Why wouldn't you pay him? I mean, other than the fact that he wants to be one of the highest paid defensive players out there. Let's go through it. And I threw this question out on Twitter. At Gallant says, not the best in coverage, right? I do wonder about an offseason with two shoulder injuries. You play safety. Shoulders are a pretty important part of the job if you're one of those guys who is consistently in the box. But after that, what would necessarily be a holdup?
Because the next guy that comes is going to ask to be paid way more than anybody else at his position.
Isn't that happening already just because you gave Bobby Wagner the big contract and Adams probably is going to want more than him?
Yes, but you can look at it and say, hey, we're the team that paid Bobby Wagner and we're using the exact same approach to pay him that we're using to pay you. This is how we do things. That you've got a template that you use as, hey, do you want to be here or not? Look, I get your point because the Seahawks negotiating position is I respect what you're asking for and I can see how you feel that way. That's not how we do things here. And we stick to our approach and we've done it with our quarterback. We've done it with our linebacker. Heck, we did it with Marshawn Lynch. And when somebody really got mad and Cam Chancellor decided not to play, what happened? He missed two games. How did that come out for everybody? He didn't get what he wanted. We lost two games and everybody suffered for it. So I get what you're saying, but it's not going to be the way you want it to be here, and you've got to decide whether you want to be with us or not.
You don't start negotiating with your best eventual offer. So the odds of the Seahawks saying, you know what, we're going to pay you more than Bobby Wagner right out of the chute, the odds of that are low. But I could see how it would eventually get to that, because I think if you were to honestly ask John Schneider or Pete Carroll, who is the player on your defense that is both the most talented player right now and gives you the most potential down the road? It's Adams in both cases. It's not Bobby Wagner anymore.
Here is Joel Corey, who's a former agent, addressing this very question of who should be the most valuable. And Joel Corey, who was on with Jake and Stacey yesterday, thinks that Bobby Wagner's contract, his salary, is going to be somewhat of a line in the sand when it comes to Seattle's negotiation with Jamal Adams.
The one problem getting to that range is I think there's some sense on making him the highest paid defensive player on the team, which is currently future Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner, who signed a 3-year extension 2 years ago for $18 million per year. I have a hard time seeing the Seahawks paying him more than $18 million per year, particularly when the safety market right now is at $15.25 million per year.
Do you have to marry everything to the idea of what the safety market is? Does it have to go from that perspective? Is that the only thing you can build things off of? Or why can't it be just based off of this? He's your best defensive player, and he doesn't play safety in the traditional way. So you pay him like he's your best defensive player.
It's a strong point. If you're the Seahawks, you say that Bobby's been here for 9 years, and he's getting toward the end of that deal. And you've been here for a full season, and we love what we've seen from you, and we want this to be a long and fruitful. And yeah, position matters. Position always matters. Was Earl Thomas better than Richard Sherman? It's tough to say. Richard Sherman made more money. You know why? Because he was a corner. That's what corners make. Yes, you're a safety. Position matters. Because is DK Metcalf going to say, I'm your best offensive player next year? He might be. Is he going to make more than Russell Wilson? Heck no. No. Position matters. It always matters. Real estate's everything.
But it's different there because quarterbacks just are totally different than everything. Where
safeties are different than everything too, right?
Aren't safeties more valuable than linebackers? Forget what the market is.
Absolutely not.
I think they absolutely are. I think they absolutely are. Look, linebackers are a position now that you see guys get paid big-time contracts, and you just wonder why. I don't get it. I took a look in Houston, some of the contracts they've given to middle linebackers recently. Look at all the misfires the Cowboys have done with their middle linebackers, too. It's a position that when you give a lot of money to it, do you honestly believe that that guy is going to make the kind of difference in both the passing game and in the running game that a middle linebacker maybe would have made in the early 2000s or before that?
Best linebacker in the league is worth more than the best safety in the league. Doesn't mean that all linebackers or that all linebackers should make more, but the best linebacker in the league, best middle linebacker in the league is worth more than the best safety in the league.
The best linebacker in the league right now, who would it be?
Levante David? Levante David's a pretty good player, but he's older.
Who's the other dude on the Bucs whose name is slipping me?
Devin White?
Devin White's better. Yeah, I mean, Devin White, I would probably pay more than Jamal Adams. I don't think there are many linebackers, though, after that you're talking about, including Levante David. I don't put Levante
David's
David necessarily
older.
There.
Devin White's probably the peer. He's a former top 10 pick, right? Or top half of the first round. Like he's a high end. When he comes up, he's going to be worth more than Jamal Adams, even if Jamal Adams is the best safety in the league. The best middle linebacker in the league is worth more than the best safety.
It's weird that it's that way because, I mean, if you just take a look at over the past 20 years, the two most successful teams, they have put a specific value on safety that other teams haven't. The teams that have had truly transcendent playmakers defensively over the last 20 years, Ed Reed at safety for Baltimore, the Seahawks with Earl Thomas, New England with Devin McCourty, a little bit different in McCourty versus those two, but I just feel like a great safety makes way more of a difference than a great linebacker.
I think they make more splash plays. I think there's also an issue of longevity and how many plays that they're involved in. Your best middle linebacker, just positional value. When you chart out who's worth the most across, the pass rusher is the most important,
okay,
is the most valuable. And then it goes corner and middle linebacker are kind of the next two, and then safeties are last on that tier. Well, defensive tackles are below safety, but that's generally how the pecking order goes.
Longevity is an interesting word here, and I'll throw this question to you because you can better answer it than I can. Who is more valuable to the Seahawks defense, Cam Chancellor or Bobby Wagner? Obviously, from a payment standpoint, I know Cam Chancellor did not probably get entirely what he was looking for and had to really fight to get paid what he ended up eventually getting paid.
Bobby Wagner is going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Cam Chancellor will make it. He might later on.
Okay.
Bobby Wagner's body of work and the importance of his position. Yeah, Bobby Wagner was the more valuable player.
Okay. That's surprising to me, because honestly, with all I hear about Cam Chancellor and the kind of impact that he had with that defense, it just feels as if that guy was after Richard Sherman.
But it's a question of value. It's not a question of sort of who's best, right? Your best, most impactful. Your position matters. I mean, that quarterback should show that more than anything. Quarterback matters. Like, you get paid based on your position. And then you get ranked according to how you play at your position. Cam Chancellor was one of the best safeties there. That doesn't mean he should make more than Bobby Wagner.
Okay. I get that line of thinking, that logic. I would just say, I mean, where have they been, the Seahawks, post-Cam Chancellor? You know, like what for the Seahawks is more important? I think we kind of saw with the trade for Quandre Diggs and the trade for Jamal Adams that, I mean, they prioritize safety in a different way here. And if you prioritize safety, then make your safety the highest paid guy.
Jamal Adams not expected to participate, according to Adam Schefter in today's minicamp. Jeremy Fowler, who also works at ESPN, reported that the Seahawks, quote, are aware of a potential family personal issues with Adams that might be a factor in terms of his attendance. We'll keep you updated on all of that. Right now, it's time for us to go around the NFL.
It's time to go around the NFL. The bottom line on the biggest stories in the NFL every morning at 9:15 with Danny and Gallant.
Today's an exceptional day.
What's going on, Moriduli?
Paul getting a lot of support on the text line. Telling me I'm
hate.
Full of it.
Some
for
hate.
The 253. Bobby has racked up a lot of tackles. However, Cam was more impactful. Paul's right on this one.
A lot of people are telling me to dodge Dave when he comes
Cam
to
Cam was
today.
More fun. Oh, don't worry about Dave. You know how you get rid of Dave? Just hold an onion out at him. Watch him. He'll curl up into a little fetal position and start whining about how onions make his tummy hurt.
Why doesn't he like onions?
They make him sick. And when his girlfriend, Mary Jo Capone, would put onions in his food, it made him sick to his stomach.
Ugh.
It was really tragic for young Dave.
You're missing out. Missing out, Dave.
Grilled Danny onions. Likes to make fun of Dave for that one. I agree with that texter that Cam was more fun to watch, especially.
He's definitely more fun to watch.
If you like hits, but I do think the way the Hall of Fame works, you know, we've learned a lot from John Clayton about their voting. I think you're right that Bobby's going to be the one to go in.
I agree on that too. I think Bobby Wagner is going to make it. And was it Herm Edwards? Was it Tony Dungy? Who gave him the one MVP vote?
Herb. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Dungy.
It was Dungy right? Okay. I know someone texted in Herm Edwards. I thought it was Dungy as well.
Well, and John's told us safety's a harder position to get in with.
Yeah.
Yes, that's definitely true. From the 206, Paul says give everyone working at McDonald's a $30 an hour raise. Hey, fine. Pay everybody more. But here's the comparison I would say. The shake guy is way more fun at McDonald's, but the burger guy is more important. You can sit there, the shake guy does his job better, okay, but the burger guy is more important. Burger guy deserves to make more money because of this essential service that he provides. It's a more important cog in the machine than the shake guy. I don't care how good the shake guy is. Burger guy makes 50 cents an hour more.
Well, yeah, he's got to cook it. He's got to make sure that there's
That's
no
right.
Bacteria.
Where are you without the burgers? That's the linebacker. Linebacker's burger guy. Safety is shake guy. Making those McFlurries.
I love a McFlurry. Haven't had one since high school.
I've never had a McFlurry. How surprising is that? My fat self shoving chicken nuggets into my face, and I've never eaten a McFlurry.
You are the McDonald's champion here. I mean, I'm the person who refuses to get anything at McDonald's except for the apple pies because I just find McDonald's
no
to be
fun.
Vastly.
Oh man, I'll eat a quarter pounder with cheese.
Oh yeah,
can't order a burger at McDonald's without them getting it wrong.
Let's get to the news. We're dilly dallying. Let's go around
to you by McDonald's.
All right, first up, Packers tackle David Bakhtiari joined Pat McAfee yesterday, and it sounds like he's actually having a little fun with all the drama going on in Green Bay this offseason.
Yeah, I the Packers are kind of notoriously known for not having a lot of controversy or drama in the offseason. So it's definitely new and uncharted territories for me, being there for as long as I have. And I mean, hey, I'm still on for the ride. I got my popcorn. I'm kind of enjoying what's going to happen, what's going to go down. And, you know, I got a front row seat to how everything's going to unfold. So I think it's I'm not going to say it's ideal. I don't say I love it from like a coworker's perspective, but I mean, you know, I think we'll all figure it out. Once come late July, early August, I think we'll get a good idea of how this thing's going to unfold.
But, yeah.
Do you think that hurt Aaron Rodgers and his feelings? His left tackle's getting his popcorn out to watch the fight?
Front row seat.
Probably not, but he is a complicated fella, so.
Exactly. He might have taken that as an insult. Oh, you think it's funny? You think it's funny here when I'm trying to stick it to the man?
I'm sure that anything...
It's here. Take a grenades for you.
I'm sure anything David Bakhtiari says he's going to be okay with, seeing as Bakhtiari is, if he's healthy in that NFC Championship game, it might go a little bit differently.
Bakhtiari also famously made Rodgers look real bad at a beer chugging contest at a Bucks game.
And then Rodgers was like, if it was a scotch drinking contest, yeah, I'd be able to beat you two pinkies up.
Chug scotch.
Exactly. What kind of a savage is Aaron Rodgers, you uncultured swine? You chug scotch? Jeez, bro. Even I know not to do that. And I'm an animal.
All right, well, in a much more serious story, Gardner Minshew cut off his mullet, guys.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Is he getting serious about things? There must be Urban Meyer.
I don't know. Did Tebow get to
like
him?
Oh, that's
funny. He posted
funny.
This goodbye message on Instagram. Yesterday, we said goodbye to the dirty diesel drapery, which for raw power was second to none, obviously. But we say hello to the more refined platinum power pelt. Meticulously crafted for a sleek and aerodynamic design, the pelt is built not only for speed, but also for pleasure.
What is the best nickname for the mullet? Text it in 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. I am partial to the Kentucky waterfall. I also enjoy the STLB, short top, long back. Party in the back, business up front, also good. I always found the ape drape to be a little bit offensive. Neck blanket also can work.
Dirty diesel drapery, man. That's it.
Dwayne Schinsis, who was a longtime big man in the NBA, who was a particularly... He had what could only be described as the lobster tail. His mullet looked like a crustacean.
What bums me out about this is there are very few people who actually can pull it off and look good. I legitimately think...
Who can make it look good?
Gardner
MacGyver?
Gardner Minshew made the mullet look good.
No, he did not.
Yes, he
made
did.
He made it look humorous.
Look at
it's
this
one
picture.
Thing to look funny. Nope, it never looked...
I don't know if it looked good, but it looked fitting.
Yeah, MacGyver and the pilot in Airwolf are the only two people that I ever thought effectively rocked a mullet.
Yeah. Listen, I can appreciate...
Ian Michael Scott or something. His name's something like that. It's three names, three words.
Like Rock Eward, I can appreciate a man who looks good. And Gardner Minshew looks good with a mullet.
Looked like a cartoon. He looked like my Cletus the Slack-jawed yokel.
You can have mullets, people. Some people
some
can pull
them off. Some folk will never eat a skunk, but then again, some folk will. Cletus the Slack-jawed yokel.
Well, we've already covered this pretty thoroughly over the last few segments, but for anyone just tuning in, Jamal Adams reportedly will not attend Seahawks mandatory minicamp. Jeremy Fowler reports that the Seahawks are aware of a potential family/personal issue with Adams that may be a factor here. Other players not in camp today over reported contract issues. Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore, Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard, and Cardinals edge rusher Chandler Jones.
I will say this, Xavien Howard's got a lot of gumption to be holding out given what has happened since he signed a 5-year extension in 2019, which isn't all that long ago. I believe there's been an arrest for domestic violence that was mixed in there. That case was never pursued. There were some questions about whether he was involved in a bullet that ended up lodged in the house of his former agent. There's a number of things that... So if Xavien Howard's really holding out because he wants another contract, that's an interesting stand for him to take at that point.
Definitely.
Not quite sure if he's dealing with from the position of strength he thinks he is.
Well, I think he's a top 5 corner in this league. And, I mean, I think that they're sticking with him through all that madness already. I think he's got a little leverage here, surprisingly. But if I'm Miami, I'd be very careful with this one because of all those reasons that you just listed.
The Walmart head cape. Now, that's bringing... You don't need to tarnish Walmart with this. The Mississippi mud flap, also solid.
I like the Montana mud flap better.
Montana mud flap, yeah. Well, send in Warriors. It was Jan Michael Vincent, who was the pilot for Airwolf. It's Danny and Gallant. We'll have more about Jamal Adams coming up next.
You are listening to Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reports the Seahawks have excused safety Jamal Adams from this week's mandatory minicamp for personal reasons. That's according to a source. Latest turn in the development of the story that we've seen this morning, in which it went from Jamal Adams will not be participating to the team understanding that there may be some personal reasons that affect his availability or presence, to now the Seahawks having excused him from attendance at mandatory minicamp, which would mean don't expect to see him there today and don't read anything into it with regard to his contract.
This is good, right? I mean, this is good. They're excusing it entirely. I think this is a sign of good faith between the two parties. And again, it's personal reasons. We don't know 100% why he is out.
We hope everybody's okay.
Exactly.
We hope everybody's okay.
It's something that you have to keep in the back of your mind. But this is a good faith, I think, showing by the Seahawks. And I just have a hard time seeing this get hostile, awkward in any way, shape, or form.
Well, it will shift the attention to whether or not he is there when training camp begins. That would be at the end of July. But Jamal Adams has been excused from attendance there. The other guys that we know that have not been present at their team's mandatory minicamps in the midst of potential contract disputes, Stephon Gilmore in New England, and then Xavien Howard with Miami. Also seeing a report from Bob Nightingale, who's the baseball reporter from USA Today. He's followed up. So we know that baseball sent a memo, right? A strongly worded letter to all its teams telling them, if we catch your pitchers with sticky stuff, we're suspending them 10 games. They'll still get paid, but they're not going to be available. According to Bob Nightingale, if a player's suspended, the team may not replace him on the roster. So if they catch a guy with sticky stuff, you're losing that pitcher and the roster spot.
Oh.
Hello, positional players pitching.
So it's like a red card, essentially. Where you'll have to go with a guy down on the roster. That's an interesting dynamic of it. But otherwise, Danny, this is legitimately the exact same rule They're just now actually enforcing it. That's already part of baseball's rule book. You're supposed to be suspended 10 games exactly if you doctor a baseball.
The problem here is that baseball has tolerated this for so long that you actually have to send out, okay, guys, we're serious. We're really going to enforce that, right? Like, I get what they're doing. I don't think it means that baseball isn't serious. It means that baseball wasn't serious before. Baseball wasn't serious about enforcing this, and they let it get to this point where guys were doing things that they thought or were at least looked the other way at, if not allowed, that nobody was bothering to check. Everybody was allowed to do this, and now they're like, okay, nobody's going to be allowed to do this anymore, and we mean it. And here are the two ways that we're going to enforce it. First of all, you're going to be suspended 10 games, and then we're limited in what we can do to the players in terms of fines. We're not limited in what we can do to the teams. How do you hurt a team? Say if you lose that player to suspension, you can't replace him. You got to go with one less player. If he gets suspended for sticky stuff, you're going to pay for it.
Is it enough, though? Isn't it still ultimately a bit of a slap on the wrist, right? Because they're still getting paid. I mean,
no, it will hurt teams. If you start, the question is how you catch someone doing this. Like that's the real question. How do you do it? Do you search guys? Are you gonna go out and say, like, let me feel your hand? It feels like it's sticky. Are they gonna have some sort of spray solution that turns a specific color if it comes in contact with pine tar? I mean, all of those things, I guess, would be possibility. How do you enforce it?
I don't know, man. I really don't think you can. It's so hard. Every single pitcher. Are you really going to go beyond what you see TSA do? And no offense to TSA, but I mean, sometimes they leave a lot to be desired when it comes to some of the things that they might allow through at an airport. And that's totally different than baseball. It's totally different. Who are we going to have do this? Are we going to have it for every single pitching change? How long is it going to take?
You can't leave it to baseball players to police themselves. We've learned that, right? Like, you can't leave it, whether it was the sign-stealing scandal with video, whether it was steroids. Baseball lets these situations get out of control, and it's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do it here. I do believe that they're going to try, though. And I think that the reason that they're trying is because everybody's talking about how much batting average is down and how nobody's hitting the ball anymore, and it's all home runs, strikeouts, and walks.
Is it more about that, then? Is it more they're looking for something that they could say, well, this is why the sport's down. The game's not in trouble because of all of the different strategies that have been applied to it. Launch angle, trying to get power as opposed to trying to get hits for contact. Like, is this them just trying to find a scapegoat for the lack of action in play? Because I guess this is one, but it seems like it's one that's gone so far wrong that it's now just an expected part of an everyday outing for a pitcher. You're going to lather some potions on your hands.
Baseball would be better if players hit more. I don't think anybody disagrees with that notion. Baseball would be better if there were more runners on base, more balls hit in play. Like, baseball would be better if those things happen. And if one of the ways to accomplish that is by getting players to not, pitchers not to have this on their hands, they're going to try to do that. I'll be curious to see the extent to which they go. I think that there is going to be a lot of effort put into over the next 2 weeks, making you believe that the problem just went away once they told them to stop. And everything we know about baseball, everything we know about baseball players, is that it's not going to go away that easy. That there are going to still be guys that are trying to get an advantage and an edge because their livelihoods depend upon it, and their effectiveness and their salaries and all of those things. There's going to be a lot of effort that goes into telling you that pitchers stopped doing this once they were told so. And I'm really not going to believe it unless we see some actual change in enforcement mechanisms.
The only way I think it gets enforced more is if teams are proactively talking to the umpires over the course of games and trying to get specific things looked at, managers visiting maybe the umpires in the middle of the games.
Is he going to go out and feel people's hands? I want to see that. I want to see the ump go out and put two hands on the guy's pitching hand and try to determine, like, is this a little tacky here? Or are you just clammy? It'd be a nightmare for someone like me. Like, I'm very clammy. I have very clammy palms. pretty much constantly. Like, yeah, that'd be pretty gross for them to have to come out and constantly feel my hand.
It would be pretty funny, though, to see the guy, his hand gets stuck to the other dude's hand. And he tries to throw him out of the game, and while he's throwing him out, his hand's still attached. It's just awkward looking. Yeah, I think that's something that they're going to have to do, and I imagine that there could be challenges. I mean, isn't this a way to use your challenges as a manager? Hey, check this guy's hand.
Give him a frisking. I like that idea.
That's probably the best way to use
you go out there
challenge.
And give him the once-over. You go out there and take a look. Go ahead and take 2 minutes and examine that dude, because I think that his spin rates tell us something's up here.
That's probably the best way to enforce it, honestly, is to make that a challengeable thing. Where you can send the umpire out to take a look at a hand or a certain part of a hat or something like that. That's the move.
It's Danny and Gallant. Jamal Adams not going to be present at the Seahawks minicamp. He has been excused for personal reasons by the team. We'll be back to raise flags. That's coming up next.
From the pocket and flags everywhere.
Flag on the play.
Now there's a flag down.
Every morning at 9:45 with Danny and Gallant. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen.
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Flag on the play.
It is Danny and Gallant. Recapping the top story of today, Jamal Adams has been excused from the mandatory minicamp for personal reasons. So I don't want anybody running around here reading into it about, hey, he doesn't have a new contract. Is that the team knows. We hope everyone's okay. Just cool your jets. The guy wasn't expected to practice anyway.
And I think it's good that we're hearing the Seahawks have excused him for personal reasons. Whatever those personal reasons are, I suppose it's possible that those personal reasons are the contract, but whatever the case, it feels like both sides are operating in good faith with one another, and hopefully there's nothing serious to be concerned about in Jamal Adams' family or his personal life.
Hope everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
Hope everybody's healthy. We'll see Jamal, hopefully, at the end of July. Maura, would you like to raise, throw, pick up? You're usually the more sunshiny one of us. You find the brighter side of it, unless it involves Tebow. Maura loves everything but doesn't like Tebow.
That's true. Trying to think if there's another one, but he's top of the list. I'm going to raise a flag for other people throwing some shade today. Paul brought this to my attention that they're starting to do some press for the match, the golf tournament where Aaron Rodgers, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, and Tom Brady will face off. And this is them on a Zoom call for that, and they throw a little shade the Packers way.
You know, at the end of the day, you can say all you want, but Aaron and I are grinders and competitors, and you know, just like y'all are, our golf games are a little bit better. So, you know, we'll see.
I do think you do have a partner that would probably have liked to go for it a little more often than he has in the past. So, Bryce, I'm glad you're encouraging him to kind of go for it when it's on the line. So rather than you know, just knock into the fairway or something like that, and try to play for the next shot.
Yeah, I'll never push anyone to do anything, so he can choose whatever he wants to do.
I usually don't get the option in my
that's what I mean. You'll finally have the option, Aaron. So
I know the pain.
And as Paul pointed out, he was wearing Aaron Rodgers was wearing a T-shirt that said "I'm offended."
I like the T-shirt. DeChambeau is dense as a rock.
The worst.
Yeah, he's
the
it.
Worst.
What an
like. Just stay out of the way. Let them have their little fun back and forth.
We established that we're Team Koepka now, right?
Yeah, we're completely Team Koepka. DeChambeau's terrible. I'm never going to push him to do anything. Yeah, you didn't play along with the joke. Like, that was a really well-delivered, kind of subtle, funny shot by Brady. And, like, DeChambeau's like, I'll never push you to do anything. That's what I meant.
The worst.
Remember Deflategate?
Yeah, God.
That was the other time he didn't get the joke. Yeah.
The worst opinion held by anyone at this sports station is Mike Salk and his like of Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, that is an unforgivable offense in my book.
I knew very little about him other than he's a libertarian from Texas who hits the bejesus out of the ball. Like, that was about the extent of everything I knew, and that he had a suspiciously large weight gain. And
very suspicious.
Over the past month and a half, like watching how he responds, he's the guy that doesn't know how to kid. Like, you're sitting there and everybody's like, yeah, you see DeChambeau's pants, they're a little too tight. And he turns around and he's like, yeah, well, your girlfriend cheated on you last month. When the guy's girlfriend actually did cheat on him. And everybody's like, why did that ask? What? You don't know how to joke. Oh, he's the worst.
Doesn't know how to do curls either.
Does he not have good biceps? I would assume that he's like a beefcake.
He had a video where, and someone said that this was a shoulder exercise. No, he was doing hammer curls and he wasn't doing them properly. His form was off. But he wants everyone to know that he works out. Yeah, he's the worst. I love how
he's
turned
huge.
This into from Aaron Rodgers. And I thought that was a great, cute back and forth with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And we get distracted by the worst guy of those four, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, he's just not funny.
Nope.
Not just awkward, no. Unwieldy. And when I say you're not funny, that means that you're actively unfunny.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that. I know what it's like to be actively unfunny.
Mike Salk likes him. I can't get past that. That is just unforgivable.
All right. Where's your flag going, Paul?
I'm going to raise a flag to Torrey Pines High School basketball player Nick Herman. He had cancer in his leg 3 years ago and was told not only was he never going to play basketball again, he was told he was going to lose his leg. I will tweet this out for you at Gallant Says, but he hit a game-winning buzzer-beater shot to improve his team, Torrey Pines, to 29-0. He leads his team in scoring with 18 points a game. It's a really cool story. It's great to see stuff like this happen in high school. And honestly, the video, you watch it, it's just so cool. He shot that practically from the parking lot and gets absolutely mobbed. Really cool story. Congratulations to Nick Herman. And I hope he's able to keep it up and maybe take this to college and continue this success.
That's really cool. Congrats, Nick. That's awesome. Torrey Pines High School.
Mm-hmm.
Before I raise my flag, I want to do an acknowledgement a little bit. There was a good mullet nickname that was sent in that I want to acknowledge because it's one I had not heard. A French pronunciation, a moulet. I find that amusing. Like, I used to call Target Target, so I like moulet. I also would like to point out that there is a mistake in taxonomy. Somebody said soccer rocker. This is a frequent mistake. People will frequently cite the soccer rocker haircut as a mullet, and this is incorrect. The soccer rocker is usually of uniform length. It usually has just all grown out. A mullet is specifically, there's a specific styling to it in which the top is cut short, tended, trimmed. The back is left wild and free. The soccer rocker is not a mullet. Stop making that mistake. They're entirely different breeds of haircut. With that, I will now raise my flag to Kawhi Leonard for putting Derek Favors right in the middle of a poster, one of the top five in-game dunks for degree of difficulty, the opponent to whom it was done, and the stage for it. It's right up there with Frederick Weiss getting hurdled by Vince Carter in the World Championships, Baron Davis on Andre Kirilenko, Scottie Pippen on Patrick Ewing, and I've left one out. Just in case I forgot one. But this one is inducted into the Pantheon. Kawhi Leonard last night on Derek Favors.
7 to shoot. Kawhi makes his move. Oh!
Wow!
A major Kawhi light!
Oh, my goodness.
Put a frame on that poster!
What's funny is the ball was then whipped inbounds, thrown up the court, and Utah made a three. So technically the Jazz won the exchange. Plus one. They made the three after giving up that dunk. Anybody who's watching that game knows who really won, though. The Clippers, the momentum that came from that. And the dunks have returned. John Hollins was doing it to the Philadelphia 76ers all throughout the third quarter. Dunks have returned. It is the one upside of the no hard basketball, no hard fouls, is guys are yamming on people in these playoffs.
That was an awesome dunk. I can't believe he was able to get over that guy, too, because that's massive. I wonder what goes through your head when you see somebody that big and you realize that you have crested them, essentially. Because there has to be a moment while you're going up where you're like, you know, like just maybe like just for a second, like I might have to move my arms or my shoulders so that I can get around him. But when you realize that you have the guy beat, that's got to be such a great feeling.
Domination.
Fatality.
Roasted or salted. It's Danny and Gallant. We'd like to thank Brock Heward for joining us for Blue 42. the Professor John Clayton for the Morning Drive, Maura Dooley, who keeps everything front and center, and he is Paul Gallant, and he's feeling relieved. He's feeling relieved after news that Jamal Adams' absence is going to be excused.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal, even if he were potentially to miss time. I think this is going to work out, and I'll tell you why coming up next. And he is Danny O'Neill, and he's just not an expert when it comes to the hour-long haircuts. I'm telling you, though, the guy is detailed enough. It is worth it the whole way through, especially when you're listening to DMX the whole time. Valley and Barber, shout out to them. Those guys are great. I am merely Paul Gallant up next. Why wouldn't you give Jamal Adams a contract extension? Give me a reason why you wouldn't if you're the Seahawks. We'll talk about that on the most interactive sports talk show in Seattle.